Well, the focus will be on the Secretary of State today as he addresses the House of Commons after the collapse of the talks at Stormont yesterday. The 4pm deadline, of course, came and went without a deal to save the power-sharing executive, leaving what James Brokenshire calls a short window of opportunity for the issues to be resolved. The main stumbling blocks seem to be the likes of the Irish language and the Troubles legacy. We're not having another snap election. There isn't the appetite, apparently, for an election. And the civil servants are going to be in charge, and the senior civil servant's going to try and sort out the budget. So there certainly is a lot happening. Let me speak to Gerry Kelly from Sinn Féin. Gerry Kelly, good morning.
Morning, Frank.
Gerry Kelly, is no doubt Sinn Féin have a significant mandate, but did people really vote for you to cause this quagmire?
Well, we didn't cause a quagmire, that's the first thing. What we have is an issue around which you remember what the straw broke the camel's back was the Cash for Ice scandal, which is £500 million. So that's what caused the election in the first instance. There was an issue of disrespect for people's heritage, for their language, for their identity in terms of what the DUP, a number of the DUP, the way they approached it. We went into this election on the basis of not another negotiation, not another agreement. We have enough of them, but for the implementation of previous agreements made. And that includes issues, huge issues, ones mostly for the British government in terms of legacy, but also for the BUP, and for the Irish Language Act and the Bill of Rights. So that's, we knew that what we were going in here, we could have sorted it out in the time that was there. The DUP and the British government were not prepared to step forward to implement things which they had already agreed, and I emphasise that's what it was about. And we are where we are now.
But if you drag your heels in all of that, it is a quagmire.
No, we're not dragging our heels in anything. We're saying that there's a huge issue here, which isn't really understood by people outside of here. I mean, you have a Scots Gaelic Act in Scotland, you have the Welsh Language Act in Wales. We are in Ireland, be it in the north of Ireland, and the idea that people would not allow for an act for an indigenous language there, frankly, outside of unionism, is not understood.
Just stay with me there, Gerry Kelly, please. Edwin Poots from the DUP is available to speak to us as well. Edwin Poots, good morning.
Good morning.
It seems to those looking in, if the DUP were prepared to accept an Irish Language Act and marriage equality, we could make progress here. We could get involved in what to most people's real politics. So you're equally causing the quagmire.
Interesting that the first thing Gerry mentioned was the issue of the boilers and the Cash for Ash. And actually the civil servants who drew up the scheme and recommended it are actually the people who are unfettered now and in charge. So if people think that that's a good idea and politicians aren't there, then I think that that's something that they should reconsider.
So you're now suggesting that the politicians have nothing at all to do with the Cash for Ash scandal?
Well, not at all, but the politicians have been working very hard to get it cleared up and actually put legislation through to ensure that the money wasn't wasted. And the £490 million has been spent, so that legislation has went through and will be kicking into force actually from the 1st of April.
But we are where we are at this moment. We're in stalemate, Edwin. We're in stalemate. It's a quagmire. People looking in are unhappy. They're unhappy with you. They're unhappy with Gerry Kelly. They're unhappy with your parties. You are the two main parties, and they see a situation where the job's not being done. Can you not provide some flexibility on the likes of the Irish Language Act or marriage equality? They're hardly big asks, are they?
I was merely passing comment that there's no public control in that the public can change politicians, you don't change civil servants, and therefore it's a somewhat invidious position that you have civil servants running the country. But nonetheless, that is where Sinn Féin have taken us to.
Well, it's also where you have taken us to. It's where both parties have taken us to.
I don't think so. We were elected last May for a 5-year mandate. Sinn Féin have crashed the Assembly. They've brought it down. They've caused an election. We've went into a negotiation. They have been intransigent throughout negotiations. They haven't wanted to find ways through. They haven't wanted to compromise. It has been, we want, we want, we want, and if we don't get, then we're going to hold everybody else to ransom. Now, we're not going to be held to ransom by Sinn Féin. We're held to ransom for 25 years by the IRA. We're not going to be held to ransom by Sinn Féin. And we will be strong in these negotiations, but we will also be fair. And we have put forward fair and reasonable proposals throughout the negotiations, but Sinn Féin have snubbed those. So it's a matter for Sinn Féin to go back and to reflect and actually come forward with something that can take this thing forward. I actually don't believe that they're serious. I don't believe that they want to make Stormont work. I don't believe they want to make Northern Ireland work. And Sinn Féin have a course of work to do to demonstrate to us that they actually want to make Northern Ireland work, they want to make the devolution work, and they want to ensure that we go forward.
Do you genuinely want it to work, Gerry Kelly?
Well, let's deal with this fair and reasonable approach that Edmund has said. Is it fair and reasonable that when you're talking about an Irish Language Act and talking about culture and talking about Ulster Scots, that the DUP introduced a British military, a British Armed Forces covenant into the same piece of legislation, saying that that was one of their demands? Now, that was nothing that we had been was involved in any of the previous agreements, and yet it was introduced. And I mean, it doesn't even have any connection to culture or language, and yet that's what they did. That's if I'm trying to judge how sincere the DUP are, then I have to look at that and say, all that is messing. I mean, how did they even begin to think that anyone on the national side could see that as a reasonable ask?
And Edmund Pooch, your reaction to that?
I have to nail that. I done the Irish language negotiations, and we never at any point were requesting that a military covenant be placed into that act. What we were looking for was a cultural respect act, a mutual respect act, where we can identify that our cultures are to be treated with respect. So I want, the Irish language treated with respect. Remember, it was Presbyterians who saved the Irish language back around 100 years ago. And it is as much part of my culture as anybody else's. If I wish to practice Irish language, or anybody else from the unionist community, I want them to be able to do that. You look at how many young people are involved in Irish dancing, for example, now, right across the community. That it would be very good if it was like that for the Irish language. But Sinn Féin have had a habit of politicising the Irish language, of making it a one-sided thing, and we need to do away with that. We have an example, for example, and this is the sorts of things that would happen if we accepted what Sinn Féin's proposals are. We've had examples of Irish language signs going up in villages like Clough and Killyleagh, where they're not wanted. And that's a Sinn Féin council, a Sinn Féin SDLP council, who are forcing that upon a local community where it's not wanted. That's one of the aspects of it. They want an affirmative action taken within the Act, which would mean that there'd be discrimination against all non-Irish speakers. That's not acceptable. Whenever I was the Minister for Culture, Arts and Leisure, which was 10 years ago, and there was a course of work done by the officials, not by me, and was brought forward to me relating to the costs, it was £30 million per year. That was 10 years ago. It would be more now. We can't afford to take that money away from health service, from education, and to spend on it. So those are all key issues. It's not just, this isn't about denying people rights. We want to give people the rights and we want to facilitate them and assist them, but we're not prepared to pay a fortune to do it, nor are we prepared to have things imposed upon us which would lead to discrimination against people who didn't choose to learn Irish.
But do both of you not realise, but Gerry Kelly, Gerry Kelly, but because I don't have a significant amount of time.
But Edmund went through a whole list and probably it would be good to play it again and again, because he talked in contradictions. It was the DUP who politicised the language. Edmund is saying that they have respect for the Irish language, yet we had the Corrymee Yogurt, we had the calling Irish language speakers and Irish crocodiles that they have to keep coming back. There is no issue in the Act which is discriminating against anybody else whatsoever. The idea there was recent pressing brought forward by people who know, because they're involved in Conrad and Gaeilge, which is nowhere near 30 million.
Do both of you not realise, however, that people listening to this programme want a budget? They want health. They want education. They want jobs. They don't want health compromised. They don't want education compromised. They don't want jobs in jeopardy. But what you guys seem to be arguing about is so peripheral to what real politics should be about.
Frank, it isn't peripheral because it is not just the Irish Language Act. We are talking about legacy here. We are talking about a Bill of Rights. We are talking about a number of things which were agreed before. And if you have integrity, especially in political life, and you make an agreement at a political level, then it is a duty upon you to implement that. And that's not what was happening. And that is outside of the disrespect shown to Irish speakers. And I mean, I would just play back because the contradictions are in it. One hand he's saying he respects the Irish language, and the next hand he's criticising it, saying it's discriminatory and all the rest of it. So, I mean, it doesn't even make sense what he's going after.
So, Edwin Poots, give equality, allow it in the very near future, and all of this could be resolved.
Oh, I'm absolutely happy for equality. What Jerry's party was proposing was that there would be affirmative action taken. That would lead to discrimination against people who don't choose to speak Irish. So that's an inequality that's being proposed, and they want to force that upon us. That isn't going to happen. Now, I want to make government work. I'm willing to go into government tomorrow morning. If they want to appoint a speaker and a first and deputy first minister and the government be appointed, I'm going in there without preconditions. It's not the DUP that's setting preconditions. Meanwhile, the voluntary sector will be facing redundancy notices from the end of this week onwards because Martin O'Muir didn't set a budget before he left government. So those people are going to be facing their redundancy notices. Michelle O'Neill, when she was minister, allowed the waiting times to creep up and up and up to their worst ever possible point. That isn't going to get any better. We have a job of work to do. And while Rome burns, Sinn Féin fiddles.
Jerry Kelly.
Well, he's throwing out propaganda as opposed to facts. The fact is that the budget is sitting there, that there are things already ring-fenced in terms of health and education, which the civil service will bring through. They have the ability. There'll be no immediate effect when the civil service take over in terms of the budget that's there. And I want to get into a government. We could have sorted this out in the short period we have. The DUP are entirely reluctant to deal with the issue across the board of equality, which includes the Irish Language Act. But I repeat, this is not a new negotiation about new things where the DUP are running off trying to get a list to counter the issues which were not implemented before. They should keep their word and implement what they agreed before.
What happens in the meantime? The Secretary of State will address the Commons today. Negotiations, we presume they're ongoing. Negotiations of any consequence? Are we going to wait to Easter? Something will be sorted? For ordinary Joes and Josephines looking in, what's happening now, Jerry Kelly?
Well, they have to be discussions of consequence. That's the difficulty we've had over the last 3 weeks. Michelle O'Neill spoke to all the party leaders yesterday. We were there on Sunday for 7 hours. The DUP didn't turn up. We need both the British government, and let's not take the British government out of this because James Brokenshire is talking as if he's some sort of facilitator. They're the ones that are holding up legacy. They're also the ones, James Brokenshire himself, who made a statement about bringing in immunity for ex-British soldiers. So we need to look at this on the broad. They are not peripheral issues. They are very necessary issues to be resolved. And they are a sign of integrity being brought back into the executive, and that's what was missing before. So when Edwin says just pick up the executive and everything will be all right, our experience is everything is absolutely not all right.
But over the next few days, what's happening?
Well, we will be talking over the next few days, and we will be trying to put this together. That's what our commitment has been all along. There is a small window of opportunity. It is true no one wants an election, but let's be very clear. The duty on the British Secretary of State under the legislation is that there needs to be another election called if we can't sort this out. So let us all put the effort in to resolve this.
Deep down, are you considering the election? Something that maybe you would embrace?
No. I don't think anybody wants to embrace another election, to be quite frank about it. However, if there is an election, we will go into it as we went into the last one on the basis of equality and integrity. And that's what our intent is. But we don't want another election. We want to sort this out. And it can be sorted out. These issues can be sorted out.
What will you be doing over the next few days in your team, Edwin Poots?
Well, if we have people who are willing to negotiate, we'll be negotiating with them. But it takes two to tango. And
it certainly sounds like as if Gerry Kelly's prepared to do a lot of talking over the coming week.
Well, I think it's time for turning the talk into action and getting the Assembly up and running. Gerry's trajectory has taken us towards direct rule. And they've for years called for the Brits out. Sinn Féin keep pressing and pressing and pressing as they're currently doing. It'll be Brits back in. It'll be direct rule ministers that'll be taking the decisions. And the Northern Ireland public representatives will not be able to articulate the views of the people that elect them, because that rule will have been overtaken. And that's a consequence of Sinn Féin's actions. They are charging head first towards direct rule. That's a matter for them, but they will not deal reasonably or ostensibly with people to find solutions to these problems. They won't give mutual respect to a range of cultures. They're looking at for one and one only, and that's something which is unacceptable to us. We want to ensure that people from whatever background, whatever culture, have that mutual respect right throughout Northern Ireland, and that we can move forward in a progressive way.
It's highly unlikely that there will be an election, but deep down, are you looking forward to an election, or do you secretly fear an election?
No, I don't fear an election, but we got a mandate last year, which should have lasted us for 5 years, and Sinn Féin decided to break that. And if they're totally unreasonable, it is for the Secretary of State, if he wishes to call another election, or whether he wishes to go to direct rule. But if we have an election, what is it to? If we can't find an agreement before an election, what's the likelihood of finding an agreement after an election? So my view is that if Sinn Féin do not behave in a more reasonable way and try to be solution makers instead of problem finders, then we will ultimately head towards direct rule. And I don't think that the consequences will be good. What will happen over rates? What will happen over water rates? What will happen over tuition fees? Bedroom tax? All of those things which we have worked very hard to ensure haven't happened in Northern Ireland, those things are likely to happen. What will happen in relation to the over 60s free travel? Will that be kept by a direct rule ministers? Those are all things which if Sinn Féin are prepared to take a risk on, that's entirely a matter for them, because we cannot operate without the two main parties in Northern Ireland. I'm not prepared to take that risk, but if Sinn Féin won't work with us, then it's impossible for us to deliver on it.
And finally, Gerry Kelly, direct rule is one of the options.
Well, I suspect that the way Edmund's talking about it, holding up as a threat, that it may be what their strategy is. Maybe that's what they want. They want direct rule. If they want direct rule, they should just come out and say at the meeting, mentioned it at least 20 times. We will not be accepting direct rule.
Well, he was fully critical of direct rule because he was highlighting all the downsides.
I listened to it all. But he seems to be using it either as a threat or as a strategy which they're happy enough to go towards.
So how do you avoid it? How do you avoid it, Gerry? Explain to me how you avoid it.
Frank, you avoid it by coming to a conclusion. And with respect, I'm on my way to the thing. I had to pull in and do this, and I was told it was going to be 10 minutes. So I need to go because we're doing meetings up in the Assembly today, and that's where I'm on my way to be involved. And what we do is we come to a conclusion, we get agreements in this, and we avoid either another election or direct rule. That's what we do.
Okay, I appreciate time is pressing for both of you. Gerry Kelly, Edwin Poots, thank you.
Thank you.
Right, it's 26 minutes past nine. Good morning to you. Let me speak to another politician, a spokesperson for the Ulster Unionist Party, Tom Elliott. Tom Elliott, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Quagmire seems an appropriate word. Now, I think most people would agree that it's appropriate at this moment in time, but maybe in a week's time, by Easter time, could we be out of it?
I suppose that's the nature of talks and discussions in Northern Ireland, Frank. We've always got into very difficult positions. We seem to have that knack of managing to talk ourselves into problems that there seems to be no outgame for. But I have to say that can change, and if there's a will, That can change, but it certainly may change over the next number of weeks. But at this stage, and I have to say this is one of the more disappointing aspects of the last 3 weeks, I don't see a major will from some of the parties in particular to actually get out of that difficult position.
So how do they move from where they are at the moment? Because at the end of the day, it's really how Sinn Féin moves and how the DUP moves. The rest of you just seem to be looking in on it.
Well, in fairness, we have put a number of proposals into the mix, Frank, and some of them actually have been accepted. Some of them at this stage haven't been, but that's the nature of politics and discussions. But I think the point is, if people draw red lines, say we're not crossing that, and you must do that before we go into government, then that leaves a very, very difficult situation to get over, because the person, the party that actually says that, they can't give way then, otherwise they'll be seen to be weak, and the other parties then can't give way to them because they'll be seen to be weak. So once you draw red lines like that, it's very, very difficult to manage out of them.
Direct rule, is that something you're seriously giving consideration to?
Well, so it's an issue you obviously have to give some consideration to. It's not ideal, and it wouldn't be ideal. People in Northern Ireland generally prefer their own government here. There's a better opportunity for consultation. There's a better opportunity for lobbying, and by and large, some of the decisions are probably taken with a more grassroots issue in mind. But look, the fact is, you have to deal with whatever your cards you're dealt. And at this particular stage, it looks like direct rule could be an option.
Highly, highly unlikely there's going to be an election. It's so unlikely it's hardly worth discussing. But it's still a possibility. Could it and would it, and you're hardly going to agree that it would, but it could lead to the wipeout of your party?
Well, I don't think it would lead to the wipeout of the Ulster Unionist Party, Frank. I think what you would see, obviously, or the potential for, is an even more sectarian election, and that wouldn't be helpful to Northern Ireland. But look, the point is, what would it prove and what would it demonstrate and what would be the end game out of it? And that I just can't see what the positives out of it would be. But look, that's a matter for the Secretary of State in the end, but I can't see that potential being on the cards at the moment. The people of Northern Ireland, I think, are somewhat fed up with elections, but if an election comes, we'll contest it, we'll fight it, and just like every other party, that's part of politics. But at this particular stage, I would rather concentrate on trying to get some level of agreement that we can have our own government in Northern Ireland again.
Are you expecting to hear anything from James Brokenshire today that we can't predict?
I don't think you'll see any surprises today. I don't think there'll be anything unexpected. And, you know, I don't think he'll even put a definitive timescale on his proposals at this stage. I think he'll leave them more flexible so that there's not a deadline to be broken through.
Okay, Tom Elliott, MP, the Ulster Unionist Party. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Frank.
This is the Frank Mitchell phone-in.